about every blow that he's going to receive. He knew about every time that somebody's going to spit on him and laugh at him and make fun of him. He knew it because he's above time. He knew beforehand, before he left the beauty of heaven, he knew what was going to happen to him. And that's why when Jesus prayed this prayer, he prayed it with this deep knowledge in his heart that he's going to suffer for the people that he's busy praying for. So I just want to read to you a few verses from John 17. And I'd like to ask you during the week to come that you will just go and ponder on these chapters of John, from John 14 to 17. Just go and read it. Just be quiet about it. Just let God and His Holy Spirit just come and open up this piece from the Bible for you. I believe that this is because Jesus spoke these things before He left. I think that's because that was on His heart for His people. That was the most important things for Jesus. And you know what was so amazing while I read this? There was nothing about finger pointing. If you read this prayer of Jesus, nowhere does he say, Lord, please, will you punish Peter for going to deny me? Never ever does he say that he hates Judas for kissing him. There's nowhere where he says, Lord, Thomas is going to not believe that I'm alive. But he just said, Lord, protect them from the evil one. So Jesus was never there to accuse. That's why he could say on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And now I just want to read to you verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these things, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that your Son may glorify, exalt, honor, and magnify you. I have glorified you down here by completing the work that you gave me to do. I have revealed your very self to the people whom you have given me. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed and kept your word. I'm praying for those you have given me, for they belong to you. And you know, this was so amazing. Instead of accusing, Jesus actually praised his disciples. He actually told the Father about the good things that they did, about their positiveness, about their obedience unto him. And this was to me so amazing. And when I was pondering on this, the Lord just said to me, you know, when Jesus started this prayer, he said, these things. And I thought, now what were these things that Jesus spoke about? And I went back to chapter 14 of John. And I read all those chapters before chapter 17. And I saw there were very special things that Jesus was teaching his disciples just before his crucifixion. So this must have been the most important things that he wanted to tell his disciples. And in the first thing that he spoke to them about was the promise of his coming. He told them that he was going to leave, but they didn't really know that he was going to die on the cross. They just knew a few things that he told them. I'll be away for 3 days and I'll rise again. And then he said a few things, but he did not give them the detail of what was going to happen to him. In fact, some of his disciples believed that he was going to stand up against the Roman Empire and start a rebellion. But that's not what Jesus came for. Jesus came for the spiritual growth in everybody, the spiritual life. So Jesus says to them, yes, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. I just want to read to you in John 14, verse 1 and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. See, he's warning them beforehand. Trouble is coming. Believe in God, believe also in me. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. You know, it was so amazing that Jesus warned them, but he was never asking for their pity. He never asked them to feel sorry for him. He just said, trouble is coming. But you know what? Trust in God and trust also in me. And you know, so often in life we go through difficult times. And we think, yeah, how am I going to manage this? Why is this terrible thing happening to me? I mean, why me? And then God just wants to encourage us and say to us, trust in him. You know, so often when I want things going hectic and you can't manage, then just that one thought, God is in control. And you know, so often the last few months, as I hear all these terrible things happening in the earth, you know, the world is in chaos. It's happening. It's becoming worse. I mean, we're just coming out of a financial down, and here it happens that the volcano erupt and another setback in the economic world. We could easily go and sit in a little heap. But you know what? Our God is in control. He's busy setting the stage for his coming back. And this is just the things that must happen. We don't have to be scared. You know, if you look at the trees outside this morning, God was just reminding me when this wind was just really coming down and we were struggling to walk in and it felt like he was going to blow me over. I remembered in front of our farmhouse on the farm, there was an old blue gum tree. And it was a big, big old tree when I was a little girl. And I remember one day a terrible storm came and the lightning struck this tree right in the middle and split it in two. But you know what? If I go to the farm now, I still park my car under that tree because it's a lovely shady tree. You know what? My dad used to keep the petrol drums under that tree. Not even the oil and the petrol did anything to that tree. Why not? Because its roots are very, very deep. They are so deep that nobody ever waters it. I know, there's never a hose pipe near that tree. But it's growing. It's huge. A few people will have to hold hands to go around its trunk, even though it was split in half. And you know what? That tree can stand against storms, against petrol, against any other thing, because its roots are so deep that nothing can move it. And this is what I want us to remember this morning. When you come against any problem, remember your roots are deep. Go deep into the God of the universe. He is in control. Yes, it doesn't seem like it. It looks terrible. We are scared. What's going to happen to us? But remember one thing, our Father knows the outcome of this, of all of this. And he's coming soon. The stage is ready. He's just putting the last few props in place to start coming back to us. And then the next one that Jesus did, the next thing that he spoke about to his disciples was the promise of the Holy Spirit. He knew that with the little bit that they know about him and his Father. And yes, he said to the Father, they believe it. They understand it. And they obey him. But that was just a little bit about who God really is. And he said, and he knew they will never be able to face the trials that was going to come. Unless they are empowered. That they have that extra power. The man knows that a car that's not working properly cannot go unless it has, its power is complete. And it has the right petrol in it and that the right oil. And only then can that car really give the power that it's able to do. And now today I want to just come and just tell you, please people, you need the Holy Spirit. It was so amazing on a Saturday morning at 9:30, there's a pastor speaking on RSG. And they ask him questions, and then he's got to answer them immediately. Now, he knows beforehand what the theme is, but he doesn't know the questions. So when this guy phones him and he starts listening, the questions come, and it's difficult ones. It's like, why is this world in such turmoil? Where is God? Now, he's got to think immediately. And yesterday, they had an interview with him. And they spoke to him, and he says, over the 3 years, well, how do you feel about this program? What was your strength? And you know what he says? I couldn't have answered those questions if I did not have the Holy Spirit. He says it was so amazing. Half of the time when he heard this question, he said, Lord, I don't know the answer. But God, just as he started speaking, just gave it to him. And he said to this guy, he says, you know what? When I'm finished, I'm sweating. So it doesn't sound like that when you hear him on the radio. He's calm and confident in what he says. But that's the power of God's Spirit. And that's what he said. God's Spirit is the power that helps me to do this. And that's why I want to encourage us. Now let's just read in John 14 verse 16 and 26. And Jesus says, this is what he says to them. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. You know, sometimes, especially when I was doing Bible school, I often thought, ooh, how am I ever going to remember all these wonderful things that I'm learning in Bible school? And God was just saying to me, don't worry, I will remind you when you need it. Your brain is not able to remember everything at the same time. Impossible. But when you click on the right button, I will put it on the screen for you. And you will be able to do it. And you will remember. And you know, I always remember that I did first aid course years ago. And one day, a little girl in our playground fell and broke her leg completely. It was an angle of 90 degrees. And there was blood all over the place. And the other teacher ran away. She says, I can't face blood. And there I stood. I thought, Lord, I can't even remember what I learned. And I wanted to panic. And just suddenly, a calmness came over me and I knew exactly what to do. Amazing, I thought afterwards. But this is exactly what Jesus does when we are in a spiritual conflict or in a spiritual situation. He will remind us and he will help us to remember and he will empower us. He equips us and he strengthens us through his Holy Spirit. I mean, so often you think, wow, how could I ever have done this? I know some of you must have an experience where you thought, now, how did I know how to say this to somebody in trouble? And without you thinking, it just comes out naturally. But people, we need to be connected all the time. We need to be connected to the Holy Spirit every minute of every day of every year, so that we could immediately, you know, that when your computer, if you take it away and you pull out the plug, it works for a little while, but after a while it stops because there's no power. And that's why we need to be empowered every day, and we need to abide with him. The third thing that Jesus spoke about to his disciples is, to me, one of the most beautiful pieces in the Bible, and that's the teaching on the vine. In John 15, verse 2, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. You know, I grew up on the wine farm, and I know how important pruning is. I know that if my father left the vineyard and never pruned it, it would have grown into a wild place where nobody could even walk. But the grapes would have been so tiny. There would have been grapes, yes, but very tiny. And every year, I remember in the June holidays, my father would go out and his workers, and they would prune the vineyards. And you could just see this little bare stump. And I used to think as a little girl, how on earth can this stump ever produce anything? And then when summer comes and the new leaves come out, the grapes hang on those heavy, huge, big grapes. And I can see my father smile because there's a good harvest. But he had to prune it. And that's why it's so important that we need to allow God to prune us. But the other thing about the vine that I think Jesus was very serious about is about the unity. If we are not one in spirit, and I know Pastor Fred says this so often, in same vision. We need to walk in the same vision, that we walk forth and be strong. If we don't, Jesus cannot come. He says this is one of the things that keeps him from coming. It's because there's no unity amongst his children. And there's certain things that he's very serious about. And he says the one is what we believe about him and about the Father. That must be in unity. And another thing is baptism. He's very serious about baptism. And so we need to get into that place of unity where we come in the same spirit and come before the Father. And so Jesus was very serious about unity. The next thing is his love for us. His saving love. You know, and this is to me so amazing that as I said before, he does not concentrate on their sins. Yes, it's important that we must deal with our sins. You know, if I look at Jesus when he healed people, he wasn't making a big fuss of you know, all your sins, this is why you are sick, and before everybody come up with all their sins. No, all he said to them is, be healed, stop sinning. Just like that, be healed, stop sinning. Let go of the nonsense of the past. It's as easy as that. Turn your back on it. Turn away from the sin. And stop keeping, like David said this morning, those secret places where there are things that we just cannot let go. People, we are going to be in heaven where we have everything we need. We're going to be in a place where there's joy and love and peace every day. Why do we have to cling onto sins of the past? Let's get rid of them and walk the walk and talk the talk. Let's go forth in Jesus' name. So remember, Jesus' love for us says, yes, there are sins in your life. Deal with it. Jesus is just very short about that. Let's get rid of the sin and let's go on. Let's look at John 15 verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. To Jesus, it's so important that love unity. Just as I have loved you. And that puts quite something on us. Just as I have loved you. That's not so easy. When Jesus hanged on the cross, he said, I forgive them. Can we forgive? Can we forgive those who trespassed against us? And you know what? If we say that our Father and we say, Father, forgive us as we forgive, you know, then it's not so easy. If I think about those people who was in that terrible bus accident, it's so easy to accuse the bus driver. It's so easy to accuse the person whom the bus belonged to. Yes, they were guilty. But can we forgive them? Can those families forgive them? You know what? We should pray for them. We should pray that God the Father will help them to forgive. Because that is the only way that they're going to be free. And so that's why we must really do what God says. Then John 15, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now, if we look at these things that Jesus told the disciples, those are the things he commanded them. The unity, the love, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Those are the things that he wants them to have so that they could be his friend. He says, then you're my friend. You know, I had an amazing thing the other day. We were talking in the class about Jesus always being with us. And this little boy, he was not very interested, but suddenly he started listening. Because I was talking about our shadow. I said, you know, if we walk, our shadow is always attached to us. So wherever I walk, the shadow goes with me. And that's like Jesus. And he looked at me and he said, and when I go in the dark? And then I immediately, it was so great, God reminded me that very minute. And I could say to him, you know what? If you go into the dark and Jesus is with you, the darkness will run away. So your shadow will still be with you. Yes, it's true. If you are going to walk in darkness and you don't take Jesus with, you will not have him because he cannot move in darkness. And you know what? I heard an amazing thing this week. A scientist said that they don't acknowledge darkness as really something. Because light is more powerful than darkness. Wherever the smallest little light is lit, the darkness must run away. So even if your faith is just so tiny, just a little match light, small, God says, you will make the darkness disappear. And that's why Jesus said, let's love him, let's keep him with us every day. And then the next thing is, to me, one of the most important things is the joy of the Lord. You know, if I sulk about something, the joy runs away. There's only one way to keep, and that is to constantly just tell yourself, this is not so bad. God is still with me. And that is the most wonderful thing to smile about. If God is with me, I can have joy and peace. But that's a decision that you've got to make. Joy is a decision. It's not a feeling. Yes, it brings a feeling. But you can decide to be happy. And you can decide to be positive instead of negative. So the joy and the peace is there because God is with us. And it is above all understanding. Let's just read John 15 verse 11. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. And in the, you know, I just want to say this. Our school have this, the videos of Matthew that was made a few years ago, the book of Matthew. And this guy who played the role of Jesus, he came to Houdini Spa once and he spoke to the people. And what to me was what I can still remember, and it was years ago, what this guy said. He said, you know, I asked the Lord, how must I portray Jesus? Must it be sad? Must it be confident? In what way must I portray Jesus? And he says, and just one word came to in his mind, joy. And if you look at that film, the guy who played Jesus smiled throughout that whole film. When he was speaking to the disciples about serious things, he was smiling. And you know what? It just excites you to know that Jesus is a happy. And here he says that my joy may be in you. And I always say that when I feel down and I want to feel angry, I just say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you know, it is our strength. That is the only way we can go on. And then John 16 verse 33 says, these things I've spoken to you, that in In me, you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the earth. And you know, Jesus overcame. He overcame on that cross. He was the victorious one, although his body didn't look like it. But when he came out of that tomb, that power that he came out with, that power is what he reigns with. And that peace he wants to give us. And you know, this is so amazing that when Jesus stood before Pilate, and everybody was accusing him, they were saying the most horrible things, Jesus just kept quiet. He was standing there quietly listening to them. Nothing, just peace. Because he knew, my Father is the Almighty God. And he is with me. Then the next thing, I just want to look at a few things about the prayer that Jesus prayed for us. The first thing, he prayed for us eternal life. Now, if you look at the Amplified Bible and you look at the word eternal life means to know God. That is what Jesus meant when he said, I'm asking for them for eternal life. To know God intimately. To know God in the deepest depths. To be able, Opie always says, let's climb on God's lap. And it was always so amazing for me when he was younger and he was still playing rugby and he used to say that. And it just made me just feel so good because I may climb on my daddy's lap. And I know that he also told the rugby players that while he was teaching them. You can climb on Father God's lap. And those boys, and you know, lots of them still come back and tell us how they still remember those things. Yes, we may climb on our daddy's lap. And we may talk to him. We may know him so personally. Do you know God the Father like you know your own father? No, we shouldn't think about. Yes, there's some things of our own fathers that we can. But often our own fathers make mistakes. God never makes a mistake. God loves us unconditionally. Just the way we are. Because he looks at us through the eyes of Jesus. And he sees purity. And he sees someone with potential. He has such good thoughts about you. And he wants, you know, the week I told my children in class this. I said, you know what? You're special. You're great. Let's say it in. And they all shouted it out. And I could see how their little faces lit up. Even the ones who struggled to write. They were saying this and they said, I can do this in Jesus' name. And you know what? Yes, be like little children. Trust God unconditionally that he loves me and he is the one who loves me. And then also, Jesus is the anointed one. We must also believe that. That's also part of eternal life. And then we must, that Jesus completed what he's done. And this is so important for me that we must get into that place where we come to completion. When I deal with my sin, I come to completion. I say, Lord, I'm done with this sin. I turn my back on it. I close the doors. And people, when I get rid of sin, please, there's one thing that we must remember. Fill it up with the love of Jesus. Fill it up with the joy of the Lord. Stuff those empty holes with Jesus. Stuff it up with the Holy Spirit. And close the door so that Satan cannot come back because he is going to come back. The word says that. He's going to come back with 7 friends. So yes, it's normal if you dealt with your sin that you will get tempted again. And even worse than before. But then is the time that we must stand up and say, no, I'm filled with the love of the Lord. The next thing is, Jesus praised us. He praised us for what? For obeying. Now, he says obedience is more important than sacrifice. He praised us for keeping his word, keeping it in our hearts, enjoying it, reading it, filling ourselves with it. The next thing of understanding. You know, in that prayer, Jesus repeatedly say to the Father, they understand who I am in you. And they want to be in us. And this is the thing that Jesus also wants. And then also he praised us for accepting his word. For taking it and eating it and not thinking that, whoa, this is weird. But really investigating and accepting it for ourselves. Then the next thing that Jesus prayed for is, of course, the unity. To him, unity is so important. And he said, as they are one. You know, this is to me so amazing that I couldn't understand as a child, why could we say we worship one God, but there's Jesus and there's God the Father and there's the Holy Spirit. Now, where's the one? It sounds to me like three. And it was hard for me to understand it. But then God showed me, yes, they are three, but they are so one because what the one thinks, the other one thinks. What the Father wants, he gives to Jesus, and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, just comes and deals with it. So they, somewhere Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will never teach you anything that I did not teach you, or that the Father didn't tell him to teach you. So we can be comfortable with the Holy Spirit in us, because he does exactly what the Father tells us to do. Not like some, you know, I often look in marriage. We so easily differ. And even there, God wants that unity, that we could just walk together in that unity. And I often think about that when we do the marriage enrichment with people. It's so important, that unity, like God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Then the next thing he prayed for us is his joy to be our strength. And we spoke about that now. And then the next thing he prays for is protection in the world. Not, Father, they are so sinful. No, he comes and he prays for us for protection. I once read a book about a guy that he had a spiritual experience of heaven. And he said it was so amazing there that God was telling these spiritual people about how they should love one another and how they should walk in unity. But they were all riding on horses of fear. And I just remember that it was just to me so profound that Satan comes with a spirit of fear to not let us believe that God will protect us. And he promised us. He says, I will protect you. Just this morning we sang, his name is a mighty tower. Now, in a mighty tower, you can be safe. And that's why we need to understand that we must trust God, that he will protect us. And then also sanctification. You know, purity to God is so important. But thank God that getting to become pure is not depending on us, but it's depending on the work of what Jesus did. Jesus did the purification thing for us. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be pure, and so that the Father could look at us and know that we're pure. And also, in the sanctification, he also consecrates us to the Father. And this is what we did when we anoint people. We consecrate them unto the Father. And then also to separate us to do the job. You know, when I think about it, when Jesus said to the disciples when he went up to heaven, they did not have the Holy Spirit yet. And Jesus had no guarantee that they would accept the Holy Spirit. But Jesus goes and he says to them, go out into the world and take the message. Heal the sick, make disciples, baptize the people. He was so confident in what he did because he knew my blood purified them unto separation. Now, separation means when God takes us apart and he sends us out to do his work. And that's what he did with the disciples, even before they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Even with their shortcomings, even knowing that Peter's going to deny him, Jesus said, these things. So, yes, He wants to send us out into the world with all our shortcomings. Don't look at your shortcomings when Jesus sends you, because that's the devil accusing you. Go out. God will equip the ones He sends. Then the indwelling love of God. You know, this is just so amazing that blood fills our whole body. Every single part of our body, even a hard tooth, needs blood inside. And God says, I will be like your blood flowing through your body. My love wants to fill every part of you. And this is, to me, the message this morning, that we will really come to that place where we're so confident in the Lord. And you know, people, as times go on and it's getting harder, Jesus promised us He will be with us. And yes, times are going to go, it's going to be harder, but He is with us. And He's the one that will guide and teach us.